This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
And thank you for joining us on The Grace Curley Show. Toby Leary here filling in for Grace. And I am co-owner of Cape Gunworks down on the Cape. And if you have never visited us, please do. We'd love to see you there. And but we talk a lot about guns and freedom and Second Amendment and self-defense. And before the break, we were talking about the Uvalde shooting down in Texas and, you know, some of the questions that have arisen from that. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to be on. I'm happy to take your questions, take your calls. And you can also text 63566 to C-U-R-L-E-Y, to text Curley, excuse me, C-U-R-L-E-Y to 63566. But all the questions that came up as a result, and a lot of them weren't really answered as a result of the press conferences that have been going on. Jared, why don't we go ahead and play cut number one. Go ahead and play the Texas DHS official.
Officers are there. The initial officers, they receive gunfire. They don't make entry initially because of the gunfire they're receiving. But we have officers calling for additional resources. Everybody that's in the area, tactical teams, we need equipment, we need specialty equipment, we need body armor, we need precision riflemen, negotiators. So during this time that they're making those calls to bring in help to solve this problem and stop it immediately, they're also evacuating personnel. Not say personnel, students, teachers. There's a lot going on. A lot, complex situation. They're measuring. Approximately an hour later, U.S. Border Patrol tactical teams arrive. They make entry, shoot and kill the suspect.
An hour later, you know, so you got the place surrounded, you're out in the parking lot with your AR-15s, your body armor, your sidearms, your cruisers, your everything, and you know there's a shooter in there, and you've already engaged in gunfire with him, so you know where he is in the general area. Most schools have multiple entry points, and I'm not a SWAT team officer, believe me, but there is something called flanking techniques. And if you know he's at this such and such a location, go in another door, go in another window, you know, get the kids out, empty the school, prop open the exit, you know, exits and get kids going out and go engage the guy. That's really what's going to end this. And it seemed like he was making that up as he went along. Like, you know, he's telling you very matter of fact what happened. And then hour later, we engaged him and killed him when the Border Patrol showed up. Why don't you play cut number 10, Jared?
Where we knew the shooter entered, Ramos, was propped open by a teacher. 11:28, the suspect vehicle crashes into the ditch, as previously described. The teacher runs to the room 132 to retrieve a phone, and that same teacher walks back to the exit door, and door remains propped open.
I don't understand. Like, I'm having a serious hard time why you would prop a door open in a school when you see a guy out in the parking lot with a rifle heading your way. Like, what in the name of Moses are we doing here? You know, inviting a guy to just have an entryway. And again, I already talked about the school resource officer wasn't there. And then parents started arrive. Like they know that their kids are in there and it's locked down or whatever. They got the place around and they're urging. And some of the audio and video is heart-wrenching when you see parents just screaming like, go get my kids. And now they're handcuffing parents to keep them orderly or make sure they don't rush the building or whatever. And one brave mom talks her way out of the handcuffs, hops the fence, runs in the school and gets her two kids out. And, you know, that that is amazing to me. Like, she was able to do what the police who had the place surrounded for an hour were unable to do. And, you know, I said to Jared off the air, I said, all you really needed to do was turn all the moms loose. They would have ended that thing in about 30 seconds, right? And, you know, a parallel story is in West Virginia, there was a interesting situation that happened there. And there was a guy driving through a neighborhood. This is just last week, driving through the neighborhood fast and kids were out at play at the street. So they confronted him and said, hey, slow down, man. There's kids around. So this guy leaves the neighborhood and comes back later, gets out of the car with an AR-15 and starts shooting into a graduation party that's happening. There's a bunch of people congregated. So he starts shooting into this crowd and this mom pulls out her gun and shoots the guy dead. End of the situation. You know, I know this is a very tragic situation and, you know, a very traumatic situation for all involved, but the good news is the only one to die that day was the shooter. And no one had any serious injuries that of the crowd that he was shooting into, thank God. But that is the perfect example of confronting evil with a gun and being able to end the threat. So, you know, this didn't happen in Texas, and we were reverting back to 1994 technology, as I mentioned, where it was the wait for the SWAT teams to arrive instead of going in and getting, you know, engaging with the bad guy or the evil guy there. And there's one more cut I want to say, want to play here, where cut number two. This is the Texas police lieutenant.
But don't current best practices, Lieutenant, call for officers to disable a shooter as quickly as possible, regardless of how many officers are actually on site?
Correct. The active shooter situation, you want to stop the killing, you want to preserve life. But also, one thing that, of course, the American people need to understand is that officers are making entry into this building. They do not know where the gunman is. They are hearing gunshots. They are receiving gunshots. At that point, if they proceeded any further, not knowing where this suspect was at, they could have been shot. They could have been killed. And at that point, that gunman would have the opportunity to kill other people inside that school. So they were able to contain that gunman inside that classroom so that he was not able to go to any other portions of the school to commit any other killings.
It says that the on-scene commander is the one that gave the stand down order. He thought, we'll go ahead and play cut eight here.
Again, you know, the on-scene commander considered it a barricaded subject and that there was time and there were no more children at risk. Obviously, you know, based upon the information we have, there were children in that classroom that were at risk, and it was, in fact, still an active shooter situation and not a barricaded subject.
And, you know, there's a lot more cuts here, but DPS Director Stephen McGraw says that in hindsight, it was the wrong decision. And everything we know about active shooter situations that have been happening for the past 20, 30 years is that you got to confront the shooter. Like, if you're not willing to rush into a building when you have the badge and the gun and the body armor and confront, and I bet there were a lot of officers that were willing to do that. You know, this reminds me a lot of what happened in Benghazi. You know, the operators, the hardened pipe hitters are sitting there waiting for the call to go in and get those men out, but they're being told to stand down, stand down, stand down. And it wasn't until the Border Patrol agents showed up that they were able to go in, and they were federal officers that they were able to go in. But, you know, so much happened wrong there, that it was, you know, it's heart-wrenching to hear and to see. And then you have people politicizing it and saying, oh, it's the gun, it's the gun. You know, Beto O'Rourke disrupting the press conference by Greg Abbott and the lieutenant governor and the mayor of Uvalde. And, you know, it's just unbelievable that there's no one to stand up against that and say, hey, you guys are the ones who left $7 billion worth of armament in the hands of terrorists called the Taliban. And, you know, you want to talk about assault weapons. We're talking about tanks and, you know, rockets and aircraft and helicopters. You left that in the hands of the Taliban. You have no moral high ground to tell us what we should and shouldn't do about gun control in this country that we have a right for. All right, guys, hold on the line. If you're on the line, we'll get to your calls after this. We will be right back. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. And we are happy to be here, and I'm happy you're joining us. And it is time for today's poll question. Go ahead, Jared, and tell us what the poll question is and what are the results thus far.
Are you planning to see 2,000 mules? Yes, I am. Not planning to, or already seen it.
And I go with, yes, I am. Haven't seen it yet, but will, I promise.
I am in that category as well. Yes, I am in the lead at 69%. 17% say they've already seen it, and 14% say they are not planning to.
All right. Well, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Thank you for that. And I definitely have been wanting to see that since it's come out. But anyway, let's get to the phones because a lot of you have been holding on for quite a while here. So, David, go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you, David?
Good, Toby. Thank you. Toby, just on the Memorial Day, as people coming across the Cape Cod Bridge, just something, a reminder, is Joe Biden calling, this video of him calling to defund the police, calling to eliminate the Second Amendment, while he's holding the back door open down on the border for killers, drug dealers, gun toters, terrorists that threatened George Bush about a week or so ago, wide open. They're flying criminals and gangsters directly into Massachusetts. And so they're endangering the public by doing that, and then they're calling to get rid of the Second Amendment. I mean, it's you know, two Boston cops are friends of mine. They arrested a guy, Toby, a little while back. Had an illegal gun on him. The DA, the very next day, lets him out. They arrest the guy again a week later. The guy's got another illegal gun. The DA lets him out. They're not serious about it. They're letting these criminals go. They're just want to take away the right for legitimate, honest people to protect themselves. Just look at the damage the pressure cookers did from the Boston Marathon bombers. Wounded hundreds of people. So the thing is, they're talking through. They're holding the door back wide open. It'd be like going to your place down the Cape, Toby, and you got restriction, people coming in, and the door's wide open in the back, and guys are pouring in who are criminals and who are gangsters.
Right.
It's a double standard. It's endangering good people.
I agree with you, David. Thanks for the call. It was well said. And it almost makes people like me into these tinfoil hat-wearing, you know, conspiracy theorists, because you look at it on the surface and you go, how is this possible? If it isn't being done on purpose, if the destruction of our country isn't being done on purpose, then I'm my ears are wide open. Explain to me the logic, like you said, David, of leaving the whole southern border open and, you know, 33 million illegal aliens already in the country. And 3,000 to 6,000 a day coming across. That's another 6 whatever it is, another 6,000 to 10,000 in some cases a day. That's another 3 million a year coming in. And it's like, what in God's name is the upside to this? There isn't one. And we have very, you know, we know terrorists have come across. We know criminals have come across. And like you said, those are the ones we know about. So what is the upside? And yes, they want to blame those who aren't responsible for any of this mess. And the soft on crime district attorneys, the soft on crime politicians, 100% to blame. And they do have the blood on their hands as far as I'm concerned. All right. Thanks for the call. Wayne, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Toby, always great to hear you filling in. Wasn't the point of my call, but I'm going to throw some gasoline on David's fire. What kills me on holidays like this, and I'm a veteran, when I hear we're honoring those that gave their lives to protect our freedom. Well, what about the tens of thousands that died and were wounded in Afghanistan and Iraq when we're allowing these people, these strangers, these tens of millions to come here, and we don't know who they are? I mean, it just throws the lives of every soldier that even, you know, gave a drop of blood. It throws their lives just to the wind, you know, allowing people in here that we don't know anything about. But real quick, why I called on shootings like this, and this sounds like a question from a third grader. In this day and age with technology, have you ever seen The Hurt Locker?
No, I have not.
Great movie with Jeremy Renner. He was in Iraq. He was a bomb disposal guy, and he put on this big, like an old-fashioned skin diving suit, like this big bubble suit to go and disarm the weapons, the bombs. But it seems like they would have invented a suit like that that's just impervious to rifles, to gunfire, to just be able to walk in, you know, almost like the Hulk, where bullets would just bounce off it and just, you know, completely diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
Don't you think anything like that is possible already?
I'm sure it is. But again, time is of the essence when it comes to a shooting like that. And unfortunately, you know, the longer you wait, the higher the body count generally is. And the average response time is 9 minutes. I know that police were on site in this school in Uvalde in 4 minutes. 9 minutes, that's an eternity. And so would there be some, you know, type of fire pole with a, you know, giant body armor suit that you could jump into and then go walk up to the guy as he's shooting you, and it all like a RoboCop situation? There may be technology like that, and I don't know. But I do know that there is some simple steps that they could take to harden the target. Number one, number two, put school resource officers. Number three, eliminate gun-free zones. They are magnets for lunatics. Since 1990, I think it was 1996 or something like that, when the 2006 might have been, I can't quite remember. Maybe we can check on that. When gun-free zone bill was enacted, it's just been an attractant to lunatics and psychos and evil people. So we need to eliminate it. We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Toby Leary, and I'm filling in for Grace Curley. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Obviously, I don't have the pristine voice of Grace Curley. I am Toby Leary filling in for Grace, who will be back tomorrow. So you'll hear her wonderful voice tickle your ears. Well, I have been told I have the voice of a bag of rocks, but that's okay. Which is not good for a radio guy. I can live with the face for radio, but the voice of a bag of rocks probably doesn't further my career much. But anyway, I don't make this my primary source of income. Let's put it that way. But before the break, we were taking your calls. If you want to jump on the line with me today, you can call 844-500-4242. If you want to text in, text CURLEY to 63566. Once again, that's 844-500-4242 or CURLEY 63566. We've been talking a lot about the Uvalde shooting. We've been talking a lot about, you know, gun control in general. And, you know, one of the things that was going across the news wires were the fact that the NRA convention was happening over the weekend and the fact that no one's allowed to carry a gun at the NRA convention. So if those are gun-free zones, how, you know, they're trying to make this as an argument for gun-free zones, and even the NRA convention is a gun-free zone. And the reason for that, by the way, is because a former president spoke at the NRA. So Donald Trump was speaking at the NRA convention, and the Secret Service has protocols it has to follow. You know, there's protocol. And in fact, when I went down to Mar-a-Lago a month or so ago, I got an email ahead of time, like, there are no firearms allowed at Mar-a-Lago. This is coming from the Secret Service. It's not Trump's policy. It's not the NRA's policy. But Dan Bongino actually pointed out a really good point, who was a Secret Service agent. He said, there are plenty of guns. Whenever Donald Trump is speaking, the Secret Service is there and has a vast resource at their disposal of firearms to take care of any problem should it arise. And unless you're going to guarantee a Secret Service level response, then you have no right denying the protections afforded by firearms to people. And I agree with that sentiment. I think the state of Kentucky actually passed a law that said, if you're going to make a gun-free zone at a sporting event or a, you know, wherever it might be, then you're going to have to ensure that the security level at this event will be sufficient to disarm the people who have a right to keep and bear arms. So you're going to have metal detectors. You're going to have security screenings. You're going to have response. You're going to have adequate security and exits and et cetera, to ensure that a mass shooting event cannot happen in this type of situation. And I think that's a very poignant observation, that every American who has the right to keep and bear arms should never be disarmed from that right, unless there are situations that, you know, would guarantee that they aren't going to be in some situation where they could get shot or killed by some psychopath who could result. And I think the gun-free zone experiment has resulted in a failure of being able to keep people safe. So the gun-free zones in schools especially has not afforded these people the ability to be safer than if they were able to carry a gun. And I would argue that the place would be a lot safer if people had the right to keep and bear arms like they would in any other workplace environment, that they, if they worked at the lumberyard or, you know, the supply store, the retail job that they work in, or the restaurant, or whatever the situation might be. But all of a sudden we start to numb our conscience and say, oh, gun-free zone in a school sounds really good. That's what we want. We want to make sure that there's no chance of a gun being present in the school that could harm our kids, when really that is making it a magnet for psychopaths. And as I mentioned before the break, the best thing that they could do would be to, you know, end that failed experiment of the gun-free zone. I don't know if you saw the statement by the shooter's mother either. And she came out and said, he had his reasons. And that hurts to even read, especially if you're a parent that lost a child in that school. Don't judge him. Don't judge me. He had his reasons. Well, I'm sure everybody has their reasons. And I'm not at all interested in what those reasons are when they go to commit the most heinous act of evil that I can think of, which is an attack on a child. There's no good reason, and that, you know, that person should be taken out as quickly as humanly possible to save the lives of the people. I don't have time to sit there and entertain what his reason was. And the fact that she's saying he had his reasons, don't judge him, don't judge me, and trying to make an apology for it is just unbelievable. And, you know, there was a lot of blowback, of course, of that, and people saying, well, yeah, he might have had his reasons, but don't judge him or don't judge me. Well, there's definitely someone judging him these days, as he, you know, has to give an account for what he's done. And I've said it before, but the harshest language Jesus ever spoke was, suffer the children to come unto me. Don't prevent the children to come unto me. And if you see any of these children, it would be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be cast into the sea than you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And, you know, Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And yet when it came to children, he had some of his harshest language for people who would harm children. And, you know, it just shows how evil some people are or how messed up they are and the mental health and whatnot, that we are failing our children. And, you know, it's a sad testament to this generation, but, you know, I know that there's a lot of work to be done in that area. So hopefully we'll start to see some improvement on the mental health front. 844-500-4242 is the number to call if you want to be on the show. And we have Craig on the line. Go ahead, Craig.
Toby, I live in Mass, and I own a couple of firearms that are chambered for 5.56. What would be the likelihood of Massachusetts outlawing or confiscating that type of firearm?
Well, it's a great question, but unfortunately, no one has a crystal ball. But we have a cut here. Play cut 7, Jared, from Senator Ed Markey, a Massachusetts guy.
And finally, let me just say, we have to take very seriously the threat which an illegitimate, far-right Supreme Court poses to gun safety in our country. We have to expand the Supreme Court to get back the 2 stolen seats that the Republicans and Donald Trump took from the American people, so that we can ensure that when we put gun safety laws on the books, they are not overridden by the Supreme Court of the United States.
So that's your typical Massachusetts politician who is trying to, you know, advocate on the national level, packing the court so that we can do something about gun control. And I know there was another representative, state rep, or I don't know if he was a U.S. rep from Massachusetts, saying the same thing, like, we got to ban guns, we got to ban guns. So if that's the rhetoric coming from our politicians, and believe me, it is, it's been a constant battle on the front in this state to preserve what rights we have left. I think everything is on the table. And I don't think that they're going to sleep until they can get guns further restricted. So, you know, we're in a hope and pray, a watch and wait, but fight for our rights to keep and bear arms. And every time Joe Biden stands up at the microphone and says, you know, there's no right is absolute, he's lying. You know, these are not rights given to us by man or our politicians. They are given to us by our Creator. Hold on one second. No. Okay, cool. So, you know, that's what I see, is that they won't sleep until they do manage to further restrict our rights. Kim, you're next on the line. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Toby. Hi.
Hi.
I haven't heard anything recently. Maybe you can fill me in and the rest of us about teachers packing. Mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of calls for arming teachers and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think that's going anywhere. But where I do think there might be some movement is to allow those who want to be armed at school. Like, you'd never want to give Mrs. Smith, who morally doesn't believe in the right to keep and bear arms, and tell her she's got to carry a gun. That's never going to happen. But the point is, if there are people who do believe that they should have that right to keep and bear arms at work, and they happen to be a teacher, then that should be where we talk about. And maybe that involves some sort of training, you know, requirements if people want to carry a gun at school, even though it's not required in any other workplace environment other than, like, you know, police or whatever. But the point is, we absolutely should be having that conversation that those who wish to carry a gun while they work should be able to do so. There's been cases of mass shootings at schools where teachers had to run out to their car to retrieve their firearm and were able to stop a threat. You can Google it and find out about those. I think there was one down in Kentucky. But the bottom line is, you know, that is one of the ways of, you know, ending a threat. So hopefully we have that conversation continues to happen, and we'll see that make its way through and end the gun-free zone. That's really what it comes down to. All right, we will be back. Carrie, if you hold on, I'll get to you after the break. And we will be back right after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace, who will be back tomorrow. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the school shootings, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, the number is 844-500-4242 if you want to call. I'll be glad to get to your calls this segment, 844-500-4242. And I want to talk about something that actually got, the police actually got it right. And I've been pretty hard on the Uvalde Police Department today. And but my hometown, actually, Barnstable police arrested a man in Hyannis the other day on Saturday who was threatening to commit an active shooting event or a mass shooting event at a school of an undisclosed location. But he, I guess they got a bunch of tips on Facebook, people that were, you know, friends with this guy on Facebook or whatever. And it's a 29-year-old man of Hyannis. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not worth giving him any type of notoriety. But the Barnstable Police Patrol Unit were able to arrest him, and they searched his home. They did not find any firearms, and they did charge him with making terroristic threats and ordered him held without bail. He'll have court on Tuesday. But the interesting thing is, this man has been known to police many times. He was arrested going all the way back to 2012 on serious drug charges and distribution of drugs, Class A and Class B substances. And as recently as 2015, he was charged with buying a firearm on the dark net. So bought a gun and a suppressor, I guess, on the dark net, which just showcases the desire of criminals to do whatever it takes to get firearms. They're not going to walk into the gun store and subject themselves to a background check if they're prohibited persons. They're going to buy them. They're going to steal them. They're going to, you know, get them on the black market, get them on the dark web, get them from, you know, whoever peddles and whatnot and sells those to criminal gang activity, et cetera, et cetera. So on the, you know, I think most people realize that there is a dark web or a black market for just about anything out there, never mind firearms, which criminals are willing to do because they aren't worried about the potential of going to jail. And this man did get sentenced to 42 months in prison after pleading guilty to these three counts of felony possession of ammunition and firearms, and not to mention the suppressor too, which carried a 10-year sentence according to federal guidelines. Obviously, he didn't do anywhere near 10 years, which brings me back to what my point was earlier. If you take a person who is convicted and stop giving them reduced sentences, but you allow them to have the maximum of the sentencing guidelines and you put them away for the maximum, they don't get a day, get out a day early, then you can reduce violent crime by 95%. And this is a perfect example of it, where he could have been given a 10-year sentence and a $250,000 fine. Instead, he was sentenced to 42 months. And, you know, maybe he pled it out. I don't know. It might have been part of the plea agreement. But the bottom line is, when have you heard of a violent criminal actually doing, A, their full sentence, or B, getting the full sentencing guidelines, and C, you know, getting a sentence that is equivalent to the crime that they actually commit? I know one of the most shocking things when we were watching the Ketanji Brown confirmation hearings for me was the fact that she was very soft on these child pornographers. And, you know, when the sentencing guidelines were 20 years and 25 years, and in one case, I think it was 44 years, she was reducing their sentences to months, like 18 months, and saying, oh, you're very close to the age of the kids you were portraying in videos. It's like, what the heck? I revert back to my, you know, quote of Jesus in the millstone comment. Like, here's how I think the majority of Americans believe that anyone who hurts a child should not be out on the street. But unfortunately, because of judges and DAs and our court system and our politicians, they get a reduced sentence. And, oh, he's a good boy. He's just misunderstood. A very good boy, you know, not really a bad person. We just need to figure out why they do what they do. And, you know, I feel you got to stop asking the question of why, and you got to start sentencing accordingly. But I digress. We have a very special guest on the other side, so don't go away. This is The Grace Curley Show.